Lori Prox here with Dr. Kathleen Todd. Kathy, thanks for joining us. We took a bit of a hiatus due to frosty fever, but COVID was on the rise here in Valdez, so we have a lot to talk about. First off, let's start with, I guess, Valdez case counts as of today, Wednesday.
Yes, and I guess that new case count is going to be 30. Some of the previous cases have resolved. The people got better and or finished their 10 days. And then there's new cases also. And so, our personal, Valdez Medical Clinic testing, for instance, had seven positives discovered on Monday and four yesterday. There's more places in town that do testing than just Valdez Medical Clinic, so it was more than that. We have to remember when there's case counts that in order not to count people twice, in order to be accurate through the whole United States and not do different things from state to state, a Valdez case is somebody who lives in Valdez, no matter where they were tested or where they caught it. And likewise, Valdez itself keeps count of non-resident cases, but if somebody works here week on, week off or something, and they're really from Wasilla, that will be counted as a Wasilla case, even though we might have tested them here in Valdez while they were on their week on.
Yeah, so if people are trying to compare numbers between the state and the city of Valdez, there's lags, there's lots of considerations there, and also reporting. I know Valdez Unified Command during their city council meeting discussion, anyways, it effectively disbanded Valdez Unified Command, said, we're done, but they've had to come out of retirement fairly early, pretty quickly, because I think the plan was to just do a release on Fridays. So while it's not every day still, I think that there are some updates, but that also contributes when you go from daily to, you're going to pick up a lot of reporting of cases. And actually just yesterday, I think it was 21 cases. I went and looked in Valdez, and so 30 today. So that's new information. And Kathy, it seems like initially a lot of youth cases. Valdez City Schools, for those of you who do not get the robocalls, if you don't have kids in school and don't know what's going on, Valdez City Schools, and you could probably explain this better, but effectively has had a series of cases in each different school and had a plan. Actually, elementary school was back in school. Middle school was supposed to go back today. High school was originally scheduled to go back next Monday. But as of last night, Valdez City Schools are now all three on distance learning until Monday, April 5th. So tell us about, I guess, that first, the youth, and then it looks like that's this week or this today, there's more adult cases.
Yeah, so to a certain extent, what you worry about the most is if you have a whole bunch of cases that are unexplained. Or there are a whole bunch of separate cases. So, for instance, if you have 10 cases and six of them are in one family and four of them are in another family, and they both were visited by their great uncle from out of state, then you go, oh, okay, we just have to contain that one little blip and make sure that they don't react with the rest of the, or interact with the rest of the community, and we'll be good. Whereas if you have 10 new cases and it's 10 separate people who don't know who they were exposed to, then you're really worried, because then you've got whoever they were exposed to is still out there running around and could give it to some more people. And so 10 separate hotspots is much worse than one hotspot that you know all about. And so those first, we were at zero for so long and people are going, oh yeah, it's over. But it unfortunately wasn't over. And somebody at the school board said, well, why now? Well, we are trying very hard to keep life as good as normal, as close to normal as we can. And so we're trying things that are a little bit more risky. So, for instance, I would consider basketball a more risky sport than cross-country running or even volleyball, because you really can't play socially distanced basketball. And if you go up for those rebounds, everybody's really right in there. And so, people came back from basketball with COVID, and so we had to quarantine all the people they were in contact with, isolate those people, and try to contain that. And there were also people who actually before spring break, but probably also at spring break, had visited other places, or people had, and so it kind of went around, you know, this classroom or that classroom. And the schools have been doing such a good job of keeping people separate that it just had to be this grade, because that's the only grade that goes out to lunch recess together. They don't have everybody mixed in together. So they could say, okay, we're just sending one grade home to do distance learning. It's a little harder when you get to the middle school and the high school, because, you know, they change classes. And so they have a little bit more interaction with each other. So they were getting, you know, at home learning in greater numbers. If you have a case at the high school, they've probably walked down the hall and sat next to a bunch of different people in class, and it's much harder to get a handle on.
And the logistics for administration get a little more complicated, because if you have a few teachers in the mix that are a close contact, then perhaps you don't have enough personnel to be in-person
right.
learning as well. So there's a lot of things to consider there, huh?
We were going to have one day off anyway on last Friday, because we had 43 teachers getting their second shot. And as people know, a lot of people just don't feel like going to work the day after a shot, because they're tired, or they're chilled, or they're, you know, got a little bit of fever or whatever. And we didn't want to have, you know, which is better, to have everybody staying home with their own teacher, or in school with 43 subs, if you could even find 43 subs. It turned out that the school was sent home anyway, because there were so many contacts. But hopefully that our teachers will now be immunized and won't be at risk or be vectors from one class to another. Either.
All right. Well, let's go there. That was a good transition, Kathleen. Let's go to vaccinations here in Valdez, and I know you're good to the last drop? You're trying to make sure that all of those vaccines are getting used, to the point of being at your office at 9 o'clock at night, calling people saying, hey, if you need one, come on down, right?
Right. Are you going to give that example? People probably know by now that the doses of vaccine don't come in single dose vials. And so once you've opened a vial of Moderna vaccine, it's 10 doses, and we don't want to waste any of it. And at the last clinic, we were getting so much vaccine, which is great, that we went through our whole waiting list. And everybody who was available to come on down had already been called. And so we had people beating the bush at, hey, do you know anybody? Because we had a vial that, you know, a few people didn't show up for whatever reason, and we really didn't want to waste any. So we called in all kinds of people, even after the clinic, to try to use up as much of that bottle as we could.
What are the numbers of immunized? Because, I think people see things on social media, and then I had somebody comment, well, people just aren't doing this. They're not. I said, well, no, actually, I think we are. Like, I think Alaska is getting, is using all the immunizations that are being sent to us. I think, right in Valdez, all the ones that are sent, you've given away.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that they hold the second doses at the state level, not here in town. So, for instance, this week's clinic is a second dose clinic, not a first dose clinic. Although, if they have anything left over in those vials, they will give the people the first dose, I'm sure. But we're having initial clinics, initial vaccine clinics, as the vaccine comes in, but we always want to make sure that we have enough for the second dose for those people. And there are specialized, besides the Civic Center, let's do 200 people in 2 hours kind of thing, there's also individual clinics, like the teachers didn't have to all go up to the Civic Center. They just did the teachers as the teachers, might as well. Or people who work across the bay, or sometimes taking that to the people, people who are shut-ins. Terry Lynch has been doing a great job of getting vaccine to the people. There's going to be a special clinic for kids age 16 to 18, because there's only one kind of vaccine that's authorized for those 16, 17-year-olds. And they are collecting a list so they know how many vials to order. Those come in even sixes. And that's not going to be a clinic that just is advertised any old comer come along, but they're trying to get the list of who needs that kind of vaccine and just do them.
Well, any idea on the numbers, Kathy?
On that particular kind of vaccine?
No, just in general vaccinations in Valdez.
Yeah, so I think we've given something like 1,451 as of last Friday.
1,451.
At least first shots, and there are 900 and something people considered fully vaccinated. Either they got Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which only needs one dose, or they got both doses of the other.
All right, and then what is the plan rolling forward? I know you mentioned this Thursday is a second dose. Is it Thursday, I'm assuming? I don't know.
Yeah, the big clinics are tending to be on Thursdays. The next time we're slated to get any more vaccine for new people is apparently April 15th, if that's a Thursday. But there might be some in between there. And so if there are, you know, if there's more vaccine comes, we will beat the bushes and say, here it is, and get it out into people's arms.
And Kathy, the difference between the different Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, how is that going? I think people are just happy to get a vaccine, right? They're not really concerned with brand identity at this point.
Well, some people are, but I would say, you know, my own daughter said, you know, should I get this Moderna? Should I wait for Moderna vaccine or should I get this Johnson & Johnson I'm being offered? And yeah, get the Johnson & Johnson, whatever you can get sooner. Sooner is better than later. But the Johnson & Johnson has a couple things going for it, and so some people have been waiting for that one. It's technology that's been around for a little bit longer in mass production than the mRNA vaccines that we've had so far. mRNA vaccines have been studied for 10 years, but they haven't been used in a whole bunch of people until now. So if you were kind of waiting for I like the old technology that everybody understands, that's Johnson & Johnson. It's people say, well, it's not quite as good, except it was tested against some of those new variants, which weren't circulating when the other was tested. And so it might actually be better against Brazil and South Africa and UK variations. So I would definitely get it if you have a problem with week on, week off, and maybe you have to go to Lower 48 and you have to be in Anchorage and you can't get your two vaccines, a month apart, just having one that only needs one vaccine is going to be appealing to a lot of people.
All right. And we have a rising cases here in Valdez. Kathy, what, and you kind of had some ideas for why, you know, why that might be happening, but are there any other things that you're seeing? And you know, are we seeing more people who've had COVID twice? What have we learned? What are we learning, and how can we apply that to what's happening here in Valdez? Have we learned anything on the ground here? We have a pretty small little microcosm.
We do. I think that the thing is that, you know, everybody's getting tired. come on. And it's, we kind of haven't, because Alaska has a young population, most people know somebody who's had COVID and it wasn't any big deal. And so we're kind of saying, oh, well, it won't be a big deal for anybody. That's not really true. So we really need to keep our guard up here and talk about racing between the vaccines and the and COVID. At least three of those people just recently in the last week or so have gotten COVID either right after their second dose before it had its 2 weeks to mature, or in between one dose and the other. So if they could have just gotten their vaccine a few weeks earlier, they wouldn't have gotten it. But on the other hand, COVID vaccine isn't perfect. You know, it's still 95% means that 1 in 20 people could still catch it. Now they probably won't, you know, be as sick as they would have been otherwise. But still, it's not invincible. So we still need to, when there's still a lot of people who are not vaccinated, we don't have herd immunity yet, we need to make sure we keep our masks on and keep our distance and wash our hands and all those same things. It's vaccine and instead of vaccine or. If you've had vaccine, yes, you can mingle with other people who've had vaccine and hug them. You know, it's wonderful. Or if you have to travel, you feel a little bit more secure because you've got your mask and your washed hands and your vaccine, but it's not quite or your vaccine yet. And so we have to be really careful. I'd say the other thing is that people have, you know, the rules keep changing to try to make it match the science better and also be more doable. But therefore, people have kind of gotten mixed up as to what quarantine is about. That is, people are saying, oh, I'm sick. I've got to go get tested right away. Don't wait to see if your sniffles go away. We want to see you on the first day of your symptoms, because that's when you're more likely to know whether that positive is a, or that negative is a real negative, or whether it's a fake negative. But so those people are keeping themselves out of commission, and they're isolating, and that's really great. But remember that people who were exposed to you, if you have a positive test, have to keep themselves out of commission also. That means not even going to the post office, not wearing your mask at the post office, but not even going there. And people are kind of forgetting that the people exposed to a case need to sit it out also. And that's not, people have forgotten that, I think.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, people who are vaccinated. We don't have a huge number that are fully vaccinated here in Valdez, but have you seen...
Well, we have 1,000 of them, actually, or almost.
So have you seen any positive cases in anyone in Valdez who's been fully vaccinated?
Fully vaccinated? No. The closest is somebody who had both their vaccines, but it hadn't... They were exposed before. It had been 2 weeks after the second
one. And are all the vaccines the same? I think it's 2 weeks right after your second shot or your final shot if you only have one. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And then I'm wondering as well, it seems like with the rise in cases, we're also seeing more people with symptoms. You know, we'd have cases, but a lot of asymptomatic cases. And any ideas for why that is? And of course, there's a concern, too, that that those people are, and I know you can't get into individual cases, but that they're doing well.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's better to have an asymptomatic case than have in the hospital case by a long shot. But those asymptomatic people are sometimes the problem, because they don't know they're sick. And unless they get tested for some other reason, they were exposed to somebody, they work in a setting where they're required for their job to get a test every week, they don't know that they're asymptomatic, and asymptomatic people, they don't know that they're positive, and asymptomatic people can shed virus just as much as somebody who's coughing in your face. So
yeah, I'm just wondering about the it seems like there are more cases in Valdez with symptoms. So I was wondering if you have any explanation for that trend, or is it really a trend?
I'm not sure that's a trend. I think it has to do with people recognizing symptoms more. That is, oh, I had a sniffle, and I knew that it was going around big time in my social circles, so I went and got tested. Whereas maybe 4 months ago, they wouldn't have come in because their sniffle went away that fast.
And I don't know if you... I know you can't speak to individual cases, but with the symptomatic cases, you know, the severity of those, are they, you know, I think well, a lot of people out there hoping, you know, you see a symptomatic case and you're just hoping that it's, mild symptoms.
I'm knocking on wood, but we don't have anybody in the hospital, with this current round, which is great. But I have definitely seen some pretty, miserable people on, telehealth visits, you know, fever and chills and cough and really sore throat lasting a week and, you know, feeling just pretty much like they've been run over by a truck. So, you know, people are not having to come into the hospital so far, but...
That's a good idea. Good list of, you know, what to watch for, but you're seeing a little bit of variation, it sounds, of a lot of symptoms, it sounds like.
Yeah, a lot of symptoms, and or people who just had a runny nose and it wasn't that bad, and if they're well informed enough to say, "Ooh, I better go get a test early in my symptoms," rather than saying, "Well, okay, I'll wait and see if this runny nose goes away, and if it does, then I will just keep going to school or keep going to work or keep going to friends' houses or church or whatever." that's not the right thing to do, because the test is the most reliable on the first or second day of symptoms. So go in and get the test at the beginning rather than waiting to see whether, oh, if it doesn't go away in a week, I'll get a test. Well, by then, the viral load may actually be lower, even though you're still sick.
And
so the virus goes up like a couple days before you get sick. So we really want to see you for the test as soon in the symptoms as we possibly can.
And we should reiterate before we leave, though, the tests still are free. So and available at several different locations in town. So I think that's, you know, sometimes we forget, just like the frosty fever button, and someone will call and say, how much is it? Like, oh, wait, no, COVID shots and frosty fever buttons. Yeah, and the COVID shot, I don't know, will do more for you.
and the vaccines are also being offered for free. There's a lot of places in the lower 48 where you've got to have all your insurance information with you. And they get it for free, too, but with, you know, billing their insurance and whatever. And right at the moment, you go to one of those things at the Civic Center, and you don't have to fill out all your insurance.
And if you're looking at national news as well, there are a lot of places that are not, that don't have enough vaccine to offer it to the general population. But at this point, anyone over the age of 18 can sign up for the regular vaccine. And as you mentioned, 16, 17 can call a public health nurse and get on a list for... I forget which vaccine it is. The one for younger kids, Pfizer.
They're going to order especially for that population and for anybody else who has a reason that they need to get the 3-week stuff instead of the 4-week stuff or whatever, if they really need Pfizer.
All right, Kathy. Well, thanks a lot for joining us. Anything in parting here? Appreciate you having you back on. And unfortunately, I don't appreciate the fact that we had to talk about a whole lot of cases, but hey, better to get the info and know what's going on, I say. So thanks for joining us.
This is the time to not give up on social distancing stuff. And, you know, we pretty much closed it down in Valdez back last spring by not traveling out of town and staying home for 14 days if you got back from out of town. And we don't want to have to do that much. That probably was a little bit of overkill, but it's not overkill to say, oh, you're visiting a relative from wherever, really should probably not mix with the family until they've had enough days go by to make a test worth doing and have a test. We don't need to bring some in from our trip to wherever or from our relatives coming to visit us finally. It's really important to not have a flare right now, because that's how these variants are going to spread. That's how we're going to have our local hospital overwhelmed. It could still happen. So hang in there.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kathy.